everyone to another episode of Thinking
Outside the Box.
I'm so excited today. We are at the beautiful bank in Fort Collins, and it's always fun to come up here and see everyone. And we get to sit with a special guy here, Mike Brown. Hey, Mike.
Hi, how are you doing?
Great. How are you?
I am great.
Good. I'm excited to interview you, but let's first hear a little bit about yourself.
Well, I've been with Mountain Valley Bank for 3 years now.
Great.
I have been in banking for 35 years. I have a wonderful wife. She puts up with me. I have two kids. I have a son-in-law. I have a daughter-in-law-to-be. And we just became grandparents in February.
That's so exciting. That's one of the best.
It is. It's fun.
Well, good. That's awesome. So today what we're going to talk about is we're going to focus on commercial lending. So we're about to get started, but first let's quickly talk about the drink. So this is called, I researched what drinks are popular in Colorado, and this one supposedly is. This is a Purple Mountain. Have you heard of that?
I have not.
Okay, this is a mocktail. This is not a cocktail, but you can make it a cocktail. It's pretty simple, really. You take fresh blueberries, fresh rosemary, and sugar and water, and you cook it together to make a syrup. And then you just add, in this case, we're adding sparkling grape juice.
Okay.
But otherwise, you could add sparkling white wine. And then you just garnish it with what didn't cook in, so the blueberries and the rosemary. So
that's for chunks?
That's for chunks. It has got floaties in it, so don't freak out about a floatie.
Okay.
Now, okay, cheers.
I'm waiting for you to take the first sip.
Oh, convenience. Sugar add a little. Let's try it. Yeah, it's pretty good.
It's pretty good.
Can't really taste the rosemary overly, but.
Could have used more rosemary.
I could have. Okay, we're going to rate at the end, but let's get started. Okay, so my first question for you is, what emerging trends are you seeing in the commercial lending industry right now, and how do you think they're shaping the future?
I think right now that commercial lending and commercial real estate lending has slowed down. I think it really slowed probably the middle of last year, and that was before the election.
Yeah.
A lot of times you'll see everything pick up a little bit more after elections, and we haven't seen that this year.
Yeah.
I think people are just sitting on their hands kind of waiting to see what direction the administration moves the economy in, and there just hasn't been a clear-cut direction yet. I think, you know, once we get through all the tariffs and those issues, there's going to be some pent-up demand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people still need to run their businesses.
Absolutely.
And it takes banks to do that.
So, yeah.
Eventually, it will loosen up. Nobody knows when.
Yeah, and that's the thing. People just aren't sure what's happening right now, so they're sitting on their hands, like you said, just kind of checking things out and see. So, okay, good answer. So what qualities make a great commercial lender? And Let's cut this question in half. Let's start with that. What qualities make a great commercial lender?
Commercial lender needs to have two strengths. One, they got to be able to build relationships.
Yeah.
And then two, they need to know credit. You know, so on the relationship side, I don't want to do transactions, one-off deals for people.
Yeah.
I want to be their banker. I want to be their banker today, and I want to be the banker they think about when they have a deal 3, 4, 5 years down the road. So that relationship means I'm adding to the relationship and they add to the relationship and we help each other. On the credit side, it really helps a lender if they can look at somebody's financials and see the picture.
Absolutely.
You know, and it took me a long time to try to figure that out. You look at numbers and you pick out key numbers and specific numbers. Mm-hmm. But it's not showing you the whole picture. A credit savvy lender can look at those financials and they can tell you what the company's done in the past. It can tell you what direction that company's going. And then you're better prepared to help build that relationship because you know how to help them.
Yeah. And they appreciate that. They can tell you're knowledgeable, and I think that's great. So I guess how can people develop those skills? What's your advice to try to develop both those sides, the relationship building and learning to, you know, analyze credit?
I had no idea how to build relationships. It it really, for me, it either comes to me or it doesn't. And there's literally people that I probably will never build a relationship with. We just don't click.
And I get that. Yeah.
So I really think when you look at a lending staff, you need all types, because people address issues differently.
Yeah. And click with different people.
And it's going to click with some customers and it'll click with other customers. So, you know, I think just having that broad selection of lenders to use when you have a new customer coming into the bank.
Yeah, I think that's
great. Is very positive. On the credit side, it's repetition.
Just experience. And
I spread credit with a pencil and a piece of paper for 10 years. That's what I started out doing. You need to be able to dig. You may see what a debt service coverage ratio is, but you need to understand what made up that debt service coverage ratio. You know, are there trends positive? Are there trends negative? What are your growth plans? You know, one big question that you ask people, how do you get out of the business? People focus on let's grow. But when you're 50, 55, 60 years old, how do you get out? Have you prepared the next generation to take over? Or can you just shut the door? Do you have a manager, a senior manager, who has the financial capacity to buy what it took you 20, 30 years to build? And that's a big question. A lot of people don't think about that until it's too late.
That's so true. I always think of it in a little bit different. I always think about that with farming. As family farms are getting passed down, like, are the next generation set up to handle it? Do they have a plan? I know it's a little different, but
that's the exact same thing.
I'm always thinking about that.
You know, and if you bought a farm 40 years ago, you paid X for it. Now that farm may be worth X times 10.
Yes.
But do your kids have the capability of buying it at that price, or are they still at the level they need to buy it at X?
And are they even interested in the industry? I mean,
exactly.
So many questions. So, okay, well, good answer. Okay, so next question. What do you look for when evaluating a commercial loan application, and how can we provide the best products or services for our customers?
When I look at an application or someone asks me for a loan, it all comes down to how do we get repaid?
Yes.
You know, and how we get repaid is going to dictate how you look at the loan. If it's a business operations and we're going to get paid back on a monthly basis, but then you look at the operations. Mm-hmm. And again, you look at the trends, you look at what they've done in the past, what they plan to do in the future, because I want to verify as much as possible that they're going to have that payment every month when it's due. If it's a type of loan where, say, the sale of an asset repays us, well, then it's fairly easy to figure out the value of that asset. The question is, what is the market? You know, if we build a house and we start building it today, it's going to appraise for X.
Mm-hmm.
We hope it's still worth X a year from now when they get ready to sell it. And then what's the market doing? Is the market leveling off? Is it trending down? Is it going through the roof?
Yeah.
And we've seen all three in the last 2-3 years.
Yeah.
But any asset like that, you got to analyze the market for that asset. And that could be cattle, crops, single family homes, commercial real estate, raw land, and even inventory. If someone's literally selling widgets, what is the market for widgets? You got to know what the market is for whatever's being sold, because if it doesn't sell, we don't have a repayment source.
That is such a great point. Yeah.
We have to have a repayment source.
And I'm sure people come with all kinds of interesting ideas sometimes like that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What can we do to support better our commercial lenders and cross-selling within departments?
I really don't think different departments should support commercial lending. We need to be able to provide the best products and services to meet the needs of our customers. And maybe I make the introduction to that customer and I'm their first contact.
Yeah.
But they may need new accounts more than they need commercial loans, in which case new accounts should be out there in the lead.
Yeah.
Depending on the company, they may need treasury management. And it could take a week. It could take several months. We'll get treasury management set up. But that's their need at that time. And treasury management should be taking the lead in that relationship through that period. You know, I will tag along and I'll provide moral support, but they may not need a commercial loan for a year, 2 years down the road. So whatever the need of the customer is should dictate who's really taking the lead in that relationship at that time.
That's so important to analyze when you are meeting with somebody and see what their needs really are in that direction and make the introductions and those type of things.
Right. Because if I start talking about treasury management, I'll say something wrong.
I would say something wrong.
Yeah. It's a, you know, let's get Amanda and her
expert.
And the experts can take care of this.
That's right.
And they can provide the level of service that I can't.
It's that lead in and helping direct the customer in the right direction and the introduction. Okay. Great. Okay. Great answer. We're on to the fun question already.
Okay.
That was fast and furious there. Okay. So, full of question. Unless you want to answer two.
Gotta put the glasses.
I get that. Okay, let's hear it.
Okay. What is your favorite color?
Blue. That is not the question. I don't believe you.
It is, what is the meanest thing you ever did to a sibling or that a sibling did to you? Thing. What is
You're first. I'm second. That's how this works.
I don't know. I have to think about that just a second. I know I locked my sister in a horse trailer and then forgot she was there for several hours.
Oh, I bet she loved you at that point.
That's up there. There's probably a few others, but we'll go with
that's
the horse trailer.
Answer. I know one time I was playing tag with my brother, who's older, and his friend, and they were teasing me and not being nice to me. So I had gotten a BB gun, and he had his foot through the bottom of the fence while they shot him. That's my problem, one of them.
Does he still talk to you?
Oh, yeah, we have our moments. But yeah, he's picked on me plenty, so I feel it's fair.
Okay.
Okay, well, great. Well, thanks again, Mike, for being on our show this time. Thanks, everyone, for watching. We're going to rate the drink, and tell me your rating. 1, police good. 5 is amazing. 3 is kind of in the middle.
I would say about a 4.
About a 4?
Yeah. You can't taste the rosemary.
I know.
It's very grapeish.
It is very grapeish, actually. Now, if you had the white sparkling wine, it might be less grapeish.
It could be.
But yeah, I'd rate that 3 or 4. That's probably my rating, too. But that is refreshing. I do like that part.
And I'm not really sure what the floaties are.
We're going to say it's rosemary. So, okay. And blueberries. Thanks, everyone, for watching. And please fill out our survey. We've been giving out some really fun prizes for our winners. And thanks again. Thanks, Mike, for being on the show.
Thank you.
Thank you. Have a great day.